scriptures for just a few minutes before we take the communion, and then we can close. Hebrews chapter 12. And I believe this is what the Lord will have us look at this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. How many people ran the Lagos Marathon here? Huh? Nobody. Huh? In your mind. Yes. You know, it's like when you go to church or you go for an event and somebody says, "Pastor, my spirit was with you." Say, no, the chairs were not for spirits. You understand? The chairs, if it was spirits we expect, we won't put chair. Abi? The chairs are for people. If you're having a party, the chairs are for people. Not my heart or my spirit was with you. No. It's not the spirit they put a chair there for. Hallelujah. So she ran it in spirit. Amen. But they put police and laid the roads for bodies. Not spirit. But other people, even their spirit didn't run. They were just in the bed, on the bed that morning, all the way. I say that because our scripture that we're reading in Hebrews chapter 12 talks about a race. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance." I'm emphasizing some words. "The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." The beauty of the race is that it has a starting point and it has an end point. One of the things you can do as a personal Bible study is see what the Bible describes, I mean, the terms or the descriptions it gives to Christianity, for instance, calls it a race. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's called a faith also. So it means that there's something about it that is about your faith or about believing God. Okay, so there are certain terminologies that you look at that way. You look at church and say, how does God describe it? You look at the righteous and say, what are the terminologies God uses, you know, to describe certain things? So when he says a race, what is the intention that God has in mind? He's trying to tell us that there is a pathway. He's trying to tell us there's a beginning. Can I hear you say a beginning? It means that there's a starting point in this journey, and that's when you get to know the Lord. Can I have an amen? But even before you knew him, he had a plan. The only thing is that Psalm 139 makes us know that 139, 5 and 6, it said, "Before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me." And even before there was the very first day, all the days of my life were written in your book. So he had a plan. It's just that I get on that journey, I get on that race the day I get to know him. Okay, so there's a starting point. It means there's also a pathway. So when they said there was a Lagos Marathon, even though it's what, 10 kilometers or how many kilometers? 10 kilometers. If you run 10 kilometers down Lagos Ibadan Expressway in 30 minutes or in 15 minutes, you are not going to be the winner of the Lagos Marathon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because there's a path that you are meant to follow. So there's a pathway that is laid out. Philippians talks about that, and it says that we should walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a way, there's a direction, there's something that God has in mind for you, and you'll have to find that pathway. Can I have an amen? You'll have to find his will. Ephesians chapter 5, I believe we're reading that sometime, and it talks about the fact that be not fooled, understanding the will of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you are not understanding the will, which is the pathway, which is what God wants you to do, where he wants you to go, where he doesn't want you to go, then you will be a fool in life. So there's a race, there's a pathway, and there's an end point. Can I have an amen? But then the Bible tells us here And really, where I'm going, I don't have a lot of time. So if I sound like I'm in a hurry, it's because I am in a hurry. Can I have an amen? I don't have a lot of time this morning. Okay. But then here, he's telling us something. And I've said that before, that when he starts with therefore, you have to stop to see what it is there for. Okay, so when he's here, the theme of what I've just read to you, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, basically is about the fact that he's telling us that just like in our race, or just like in Jesus' race, in our race also, one of the biggest hindrances we will face is sin. Can I hear you say sin? What's going to stop us from running the race is sin. And he actually breaks it up, and he calls something sin, he calls another weight, meaning that there must be two different things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are certain things, maybe I need to calm down a little bit so I can make it clear to you. Okay, there are certain things he says in there that we must swallow and digest. Okay, number one is that he says, therefore, seeing that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. I mean, let us lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily beset us. So sin and weight, meaning there must be two different things. Okay, one of the things I've watched over time is that when you are training a runner, and in fact, even when they train the military, they make them carry weights. Okay, weights are things that will slow them down. So that when tomorrow, if you have to run without a weight, it's very easy for you to move very quickly because you are used to carrying a lot of stuff with it. But basically, the weight is something that slows you down. The weight is something that ensures that you don't get where you are going on time and easily. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so it says there are certain things, they are point blank, black and white sin. But there are other things that are not black and white sin, but they are weights. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? So some things, you know, some people will stand there and say, show me. I won't get too much into it this morning. People have talked about it and said, show me where in the Bible it says we should not drink alcohol. Are you there? And I've showed it before. Okay? But what did I say? If you remember it very clearly, I said, if you want a deep walk with God, then you'll find that everybody God called to a deep walk with him, he told them, don't take it. Proverbs 23, Proverbs 31, he told them, don't do it. Don't touch it. If you look at the Nazarite vow in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, it says, don't touch it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So somebody say, but he says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. It means for your stomach ailment. For your stomach disease. So if you want to take it, may God give you stomach disease. Are you still with me, anybody? But what I'm saying to you is that I can classify that as a weight. Okay, so you say, or somebody says tobacco. Why is it that I shouldn't smoke cigarette? I can classify it as a weight because it's going to do something to you to slow you down in your journey. Are you still following what I'm saying? Any stimulant, in fact, you can even go to cocaine and say, is it in the Bible that you shouldn't take cocaine? Is it there, anybody? No, it's not there. But it's going to do something to your race. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the guy who says alcohol is okay will tell me cocaine is not. But there is no scripture. I can't even find for alcohol. I can't find for cocaine. Are you hearing me? But it's a weight. And guess what? With the weight, very often, you know what the weight is in your life. You know what is the thing that is slowing you down. Most of the time, people may not know what it is. They may not be able to classify it as anything. But you can tell that this thing is a problem to me in my walk with God. And the Bible says, let us lay aside the sins and the weight, and I like what it says next. It says that so easily besets us. Meaning that these are things that seem to have a hold of you. It means that there are certain things that you seem to not be able to get away from. God knows them. And yet God instructs me and you, and he says, lay those things aside. Guess what? It means that there's nothing you can't break away from. Can I have an amen? It means there's nothing you can't overcome. It means I have the ability, because God says the thing so easily besets me, yet God says I should lay it aside. God will not ask you to do what you can't do. So if he tells you that you can, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there's no temptation that has taken you that is not common to man. He said, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with every temptation will make a way of escape. So God is faithful. He will not allow you to be overcome by something that you cannot overcome. So everything can be overcome. Can I have an amen? But why is the scripture telling us this? Because impurities raise the boiling point. Sorry, that's science, that's chemistry. Eh? That means that oftentimes we're looking for breakthroughs, we're looking for blessings, we're looking for open doors, we're looking for all kinds of things from God. Whereas all we need to do is get rid of the sins and the weights. I'm not saying all, I'm just saying that oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, we just need to lay aside the sins and the weights. And many things, even just by thinking them, God does it. The Bible says that he's able, Ephesians 3:20, to do exceedingly abundantly above that which you dare to think or even imagine. So even before you think it or you are still imagining it, there are certain things that you are afraid to pray about, but God can do above those things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20 says, in a great house there are many vessels. Some wood, some silver, some gold. He said, but if you purge yourself of these things, if you look at it in context, he was talking about sinful things. And he said, if you purge yourself of these things, then you'll be a vessel unto honor. Meaning that sometimes what you need is a purging, and then the honor and the breakthroughs come in. Are you hearing me? Now, I'll go back to the beginning of this verse, in verse 1. When it then says, therefore, I said, you stop to see what it's there for. It means that whatever he's saying in chapter 12 is a continuation of what he said in chapter 11. It means that chapter 12, by no means, is a standalone chapter of the book of Hebrews. Are you hearing me? And what did he say in chapter 11? We call it the great chapter of faith. He begins, he explains what faith is. He talks about what faith does. And then he goes on to start giving us, number three, he tells us how faith works. Then he goes on to start giving us examples. That's what he was referring to in verse 1 here, saying, therefore, seeing that we have so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the comparison, listen to me carefully. The link here is that he's saying that everything you could see in chapter 11, the things that people did in chapter 11, the heroes and the heroines of faith, he's saying that you also and your story can as well belong in chapter 11 of Hebrews if you will lay aside the sins and the weights. Did you get what I'm saying? So he was talking about Sarah, who got a child at what age? He was saying you can get a child, irrespective of diagnosis, irrespective of age. Are you hearing me? He was talking about people who stopped the mouth of lions. Divine protection. So he was saying that all of these things you can enjoy. I was listening to a man of God who said, you know what? He said miracles are 75% holiness. 75%, he said, is the key to miracles. 75% holiness, and you see miracles in your life. And so everybody you are reading there in chapter 11, everything they experience, the Bible is saying, we can experience the same. Our stories can be that glorious. Our story can be that amazing. However, it says, therefore, we have seen those witnesses we need to lay aside. As a matter of fact, if you read chapter 11 and you read the last verse, he said God had ensured that those guys will not be made perfect without us. That's the story is incomplete without your story. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The story of the amazing exploits of faith is incomplete without mine. That's how God designed it. That all of those guys in the Old Testament can't have a complete story except that the story of us coming behind under the new covenant is added to it. However, because they have shown us what can be, he said they are the great cloud of witnesses telling us that impossibility is nothing. Telling us that God is limitless. Telling us that God does wonders without numbers. Telling us that God cannot be stopped. Telling us that there is no limitation. Telling us that with God nothing shall be impossible. They have told us all of those things. He said we can do the same by laying aside the sins and the weights. Are you hearing me this morning? Let me say three things quickly and I'll stop. Three things that will help you. You know, when you are going to lay aside the sins and the ways. Number one is how you think. How you think. And that's why I said to you that there's nothing that has beset you that cannot be overcome. is nothing. I said years ago, I saw a gentleman when the university was in front of me trying to buy food with his friend in a canteen, and he was telling his friend about his addiction, you know, to nicotine, to cigarettes. And he was telling his friend, he said, you know, when we started this thing, we're just doing guy. He said, we're just doing guy. Oh. He said, now I want to stop. I can't stop. I want to stop it. I can't stop it. But guess what? If you're a believer, you can. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I met another one about the same time. I met him in a barbing saloon in the university. And he was talking and running down God on all fronts. I usually talk about him and the fact that he ran God down on the basis that he wrote jam, I think at least 5 times. And he said even slept in church and he failed. And they took light for a moment. And when they took light for a moment, everybody ran away. But I stayed there, they brought back light, and I began to talk to him. And I said, show me in the scriptures. Where is it written in the scriptures that thou shalt sleep in the church and you will pass jam? I said, God never promised you that. And then I took him on like that and began to speak to him and preach the gospel to him. And he gave his life to Christ. And the very next day, he saw me. Towards the evening, he saw me. I didn't know him before then. But he saw me the next day, and he ran to me. And he was telling me, he was so excited. He said, you know, I've been so happy. He said, in fact, and from morning, he said, I've not smoked a stick of cigarette. He said, every day I smoke packs of cigarette. He said, but since morning, I've not touched one. Because you can't overcome it. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what your weight is, but it's possible. And I hear he say it's possible. Look at Romans chapter 6 very quickly. Romans the 6th chapter. So the first thing is how you think. You must think it's possible. You must think I can live right. You must think I can live above sin. Sin cannot have dominion over me. It's not possible. There's nothing that can hold me down. I have the ability. I don't care how strong the urges are. I don't care how many times you fall in prey to it. You must not change your thinking as a believer. Are you hearing me? You know, just talking about incidentally about cigarettes. Somebody was saying to someone, and he said, look, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, how can I stop it? And the man said, you know, the Bible says, I think 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, if I'm right. He said, whether you eat or you drink, do all things to the glory of God. He says, so we're going to pray together. God will help you to stop it. He said, but every time you light up a cigarette, just tell God, God, I thank you because I do this to your glory. He said, and when that guy tried it, once, twice, he never touched it again. But every time he brought God on the scene, every time he brought God to his consciousness, that thing didn't feel right. Until he couldn't take it again. Are you with me? Romans chapter 6. I read verse 3 very quickly. It says, therefore we're buried with him through baptism. Verse 4. Therefore we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Meaning we have a new life. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about. One of my favorite scriptures, and I think a foundational scripture that every believer must know, every believer must meditate on, every believer must cram in their heads. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold means look at it very well. Oh, it's not the same person. All things have become new. Don't be confused by the things you see. He said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. All things have become new. Are you with me? I tell people the same when they talk about generational curse. I said, behold, all things have become new. Behold, look at it well. You are looking at the wrong things. You are not looking at the word of God. Behold, everything has become new. Whatever was happening in that family stopped with you the day you gave your life to Christ. Are you hearing me? That's what he's talking about. He said, even so, we should walk in newness of life. Look at verse 6. He said, knowing this, because we know that truth, that secret. He said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So the reality now, the current reality for the new creation in Christ is that we're not slaves of sin. A slave has no choice. No options. The Bible says we're not slaves of sin. Therefore, look at verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself. Reckon means think about yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. So, despite what has happened, what he has done, what your new life has become, it needs to show up in your thinking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your thinking now must be, if you ever gave it to sin, you need to say, Amy. Amy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is it me that got angry like that? Is it me that lost my cool and was shouting and all that? Me? Me? You need to feel insulted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Am I the one who felt so tempted to do that? You need to feel insulted. Is that because you need to reckon yourself to be dead? Indeed to sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in his laws. Are you there? Number two, very quickly. Get full of God's word. There's no escaping it. Get full of God's word. Stay full of God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Matthew 26, Jesus was telling them they had gone to Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him. And he said to the disciples, he said, you need to watch and pray. Abi, that you may not fall into temptation. Oh, I was talking about the word. So you've heard number three. Number three of the joy is what? Pray. Abi, that's number three. But number two is the word. Psalm 119 verse 9. He said, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to his word. You know, when I read the Bible, I stand back and I meditate upon it. So when he says in Psalm 119 and verse 9, and he says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? It means I can see an agitation. Is it possible? Is it possible for a young man to cleanse his ways? How can it ever be possible that I can live right? How can it ever be possible that I can live that way? And he said, the answer, he said, is by taking heed according to your word. Verse 11 follows it. It says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's no escaping it. You have to hide that word in there. Hide it in there. Hide it in there. Hide it in there daily. Hide it in there several times a day. Are you hearing me? You know, I said, and I tell people, I tell my kids, I said, look, listen, I do it. You hear me listening to scriptures? You hear me reading and all of that? I said, because we are in a battle. Are you with me? There's a real devil. And he wants to sieve you like wheat. Luke 22. That's what, Jesus told Peter. He said the devil wants to take you and sieve you. You know, sieve you. You know, what do we sieve in Nigeria, Ilubo? So he says he wants to take you and sieve you. Sieve you. When he's done, you can't be complete again. He will finish you off. He said he wants to sieve you. He said, but I prayed for you. So there's a real devil who's after your soul, who's after your life. However, if you will hide God's word in there, and like I just said to you, Matthew 26 and verse 41, if you would pray, Galatians chapter 5 has to that. He said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One of the ways by which we walk in the spirit is that we pray. I pray all the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I pray all the time. As I'm driving, I'm praying. You pray so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What that means is that if you are not praying, you are more susceptible. Are you with me, anybody? God has a great plan for your life. In fact, the Bible says that he has blessed us with all blessings in spiritual places. So he has everything laid out for you. But what we need to do is lay aside, according to his word to us this morning, the sin and the weights that so easily beset us. I've said it before, one of the weights for me was my hairstyle years ago. You know, my children never believed that I had hairstyle. You know, because they even wonder, there was a time they were challenging me, Daddy, you don't have hair. I said, you don't know. I have to cut it 2 or 3 times a week. I said, but if I left it, I can grow it very quickly. You know, but so I had hair and I was cutting style. But the day I realized it was a weight, not a sin to cut a hairstyle. I realized it was a weight. I was sitting in church and I was busy. I was busy adjusting. And God said, "What are you doing, sir?" He said, "What are you doing? I thought you were worshiping me, sir." He said, "Cut it." I said, "Yes, sir." That's when I cut it. On the level, I cut it. I stopped. No more style. Are you hearing me? But I've never preached no more style to anybody. Because it's a weight that so easily besets me. Are you still there, anybody? I said, are you here this morning? Let's stand on our feet this morning. Did you get anything yet? I don't know what you might be dealing with, but it's possible. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing can. Nothing can. But you have to lay it aside. You have to make up your mind. And remember Hebrews 12 and verse 4, the last verse we read, said you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Meaning that you need to make it a fight. Jesus fought against sin to bloodshed. That's what he was saying, comparing him. He said he fought it to the extreme of his life. So you still have to fight. Don't stop. Don't give up. He said, so we need to fight. It's a fight. And you need to consider Jesus so that you don't get tired along the way. I said, this thing, I can't even deal with it. I can't overcome it. I can't help myself. He said, no, don't get weary. You will fight it to the end. You will help yourself. You will overcome. Can I have an amen? Take a moment and just talk to God about whatever you've heard this morning. And I said that because he speaks to us collectively, but he speaks to us individually. Right from the beginning of the service, maybe it's we talked about unforgiveness. Maybe that's what the sin you are battling with. The people you are holding in your heart. I say no. But he was telling us of what levels of offense. And I say that one offended me too much. You need to let go of the sins and the weights that so easily beset you. This morning, sickness is not permitted to go on with you. No. It's not permitted to go on with you. Why? Because the Bible tells us that by his stripes we were healed. What we do with the communion is that we recall what he did for us by dying for us. And the Bible says by his stripes we were healed. Past tense. So this morning we claim it. This morning we rebuke every sickness and every disease. And we receive that which Christ has made available to us in the name of Jesus. There's nothing called incurable with God. Nothing. The Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And then in Mark 9, he said, nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. So there's nothing impossible that to him that believes in the God with whom nothing shall be impossible. Impossible is nothing. We believe God all the way. We believe God all the way. We believe God that this month will enjoy favor. We believe that this month will enjoy divine guidance, clarity of his voice. We believe that this month will enjoy the joy of the Lord. No anxiety, no fears, no worries. We cast all our cares upon him because we know that he cares for us. We know that even before we call, he will answer. We know that indeed he surrounds us with a hedge. He surrounds our household. And all that belongs to us is surrounded by the hedge of God, or with the hedge of God. We trust that he blesses the work of our hands. And our possessions increase in this land. Are you here this morning? You need to give your life to Christ. Let's do that very quickly. Put your right hand on your chest. I don't need to convince you. You know. You need to give your life to Christ, or you need to rededicate your life. You know you've walked away from God. You are not where you should be. Please put your right hand on your chest right now. Let's pray very quickly because of time. But you need to get back with God, or get back to God. The Bible says that now is the time of salvation. Never postpone it. Always ensure is the most valuable thing in your life. your walk with God, your relationship with God. And just say very quickly where you are, I see those hands. Just say, Father, I come to you this morning. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for Jesus' death upon that cross, which was in place of me and for my sins. Thank you because I believe and I confess that he is my Savior and is my Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who spread that. Thank you because indeed they step into the reality of a walk with God. They'll become God chasers. There'll be a hunger for God that will drive them all the days of their lives in the name of Jesus. And Lord, this morning we pray and dedicate this communion articles. We trust that as we remember what you've done on the cross, you said that if he did not withhold his only begotten son from us, how will he not with him freely give us all things? So we trust that indeed all our desires are met in the name of Jesus. All the needs are met. All the wants are met. You will do that which only you can do in the name of Jesus. Testimonies abound. In Jesus' name we pray.